But it's a portion of God's Word that as you look in some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ brings out in his conversation to his disciples and to those that are trying to attack him, it's wonderful to just meditate on some of the words and the wisdom that the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth in these portions of his Word. And in the 7th chapter, let's look at the 14th verse. We notice that the Jews, in the 13th verse where we left off on Sunday night, did not speak openly about him because they feared the Jews. Now, the fear of the Jews there, I don't believe that means the common ordinary man, but rather the priests and the leaders of the Jewish religion. And I think when we get in this portion where we see that the Lord Jesus Christ even says that they seek to kill him in the 19th verse, he's not talking about the people that were seeking him, but those that hated him, those religious leaders, those that said to Judas, let's do it in the absence of the multitude. They didn't want to crucify him. They didn't want to bring him on trial, remember, in the presence of the multitude, because they were afraid that the multitude who loved the Lord Jesus Christ would take up stones and stone them instead of stoning Christ. And I think many of the times that we see that the stones were picked up, and even in this case here, it's at Jerusalem once again, it was the leaders that were the ones that energized those unbelievers to try to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think it was that multitude that you see that was following him, and even those that followed him, remember when he went into the city riding on the colt, they took their garments and spread before him, and also the palm branches, and they were crying out, Hosanna to God in the highest. That was the group that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the group that we saw in the 6th chapter that came to him that he fed. And of course, even with their hearts, they weren't converted, of course, and they looked for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they sought him because they wanted their stomach filled. They weren't maybe as interested in spiritual things as they should have been. And he did not seek to be their king, and that's why they wanted to make him king in the 6th chapter. But in the 7th chapter, as we have noticed already, the Lord Jesus Christ is going up to the feast. And of course, he's been criticized by his brothers and sisters that he hasn't gone up. And they told him to go up and make himself openly known to the people that he might be known as a great leader and taking over the kingdom that they thought he was going to take over. That he was no doubt told his brothers and sisters that he was going to be king and they were looking for him to take over the kingdom. But they didn't love him like they should because they had a heart of unbelief, as it even brings out in that 5th verse. But notice the 14th verse tonight where we'll start our lesson. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now here we notice it's in the middle of the feast, and the Lord Jesus Christ now is making himself known at the feast. And he starts to teach there in the midst of the temple. You notice he went up into the temple and taught. Now, no doubt when he gathered the group of people around him, he started to speak, no doubt, about the Old Testament scriptures. And of course, it always brought up a conversation. And a lot of times that we notice in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke to his disciples, they would ask him a question. And he would answer that question. And tonight, once again, the question is going out as we look in the 15th verse. Now notice, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now again, I don't believe myself, now you can disagree with me, but I honestly don't believe that this is the average person. This isn't the average Jew now that is just seeking to hear the Lord. Once again, I believe it's the leaders. I believe it's the leaders of the leaders of Jerusalem that are marveling that he's never learned, he's never been educated, and now they are looking down their long noses at him and trying to despise him in a way. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? In other words, having never been to school. Where is his doctor's degree, we say today? Where is his bachelor's degree? Where is his degree from some university that we can say that this man is qualified to speak to us? How does he dare to teach? Where is his letters? How knoweth this man letters, having never learned, never taught in the schools of their day, never sitting at Gamaliel's feet, like the Apostle Paul did? You see the sarcasm that they have in their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking down on him. And you know, isn't this the thing that we see today? So many times, even a lot of people despise just an ordinary Christian. A brother gets up and he starts to give a testimony or gives a sermon, and you will hear a lot of people say, that are very educated, or even I've heard denominational preachers sometimes criticize some of our brethren. Say, well, where did he ever go to school? How did he learn anything? And I remember one person criticizing one of our preachers. Well, how can you take anything from him? He's never been to a university. He's never been to a seminary. Where did he learn all of these things? Well, he was taught by the Holy Spirit of God, wasn't he? Every one of us are taught by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ brings out. And, beloved, it's not the education of today that makes a man a servant of Christ. And too many times we put too much emphasis on schooling. Now, it isn't that I haven't been to school. I went to Northwestern myself, Northwestern Bible School in Minneapolis. Billy Graham happened to be president at the time. So I'm not knocking school because of that. But I want to say this. There's too much emphasis today that we want somebody to present a message that has a doctor's degree or a bachelor's degree or has been to some Bible school before we'll hear him. But, beloved, you know, the Holy Spirit of God is the best teacher. When you go to this prophet school in the Old Testament, you never read of any prophet that went to the school that the Lord ever used. We don't know of their names. They had a prophet school, but you don't hear of any of the prophets coming out of those schools and being a prophet of God. Now, it isn't saying that God doesn't use educated men. But what I'm trying to say here tonight, let's never despise anybody that might not have the education we have. I was talking to a doctor's wife just the other day. In fact, she's going to receive my tape. She told me she charged me $25 an hour to edit them. I said, you're higher than your husband. And the doctor was standing right there. Of course, I hope she was kidding. But anyway, she was telling me about certain things, and I told her, I said, you know, I said, one of the greatest men in America and England that turned England upside down and America upside down was D.L. Moody. And I said, he butchered the king's English. He had never gone to school. But, beloved, that man was dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God filled his mouth. And when he spoke, though there were doctors and all kinds of educated people in his audience, when he would give the invitation, many of those doctors would walk out of their seats and come forward and openly receive Christ as their Savior. Now, why was it? It was because D.L. Moody was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, it's the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God manifested in the flesh, and the people of his day are saying, well, he's never gone to school. Where did he get the authority to stand up here in the temple and teach? Where has he got the license to do this? Where did he go to school? Now, isn't this the thing of today? Trying to bring down a person that knows God. Now, if they did this to the Lord Jesus Christ, what will they do to you and me? You see, they measure, the world measures people by their standards. But God doesn't go by the standard of the university. God goes by the standard of the relation to him. And I believe in this chapter we see the secret if we want to know God's will. And I believe that's what we get in. And we talked on that Sunday night about knowing God's will. And I brought up some personal experiences myself. Or even myself, sometimes I have to say that I don't know that I could say definitely that this is God's will. We hope it's God's will, and we try to seek God's will. And Brother Howe, after the meeting, said to me, he said, Jim, he said, not only is it hard to know God's will, where to move or where to go, but he says, you know, it's even hard sometimes for me to know, God, what message do you want me to give? Isn't that right, brother? When you get the opportunity to speak and God gives you an opportunity to preach, sometimes we have to say, well, Lord, what message do you want? And sometimes even in the series of campaigns I've been in, I had one message. In fact, on a tape I was just recording the other day to go out over the country, I said in a message that I gave in Georgia, and I had one message, but at the Lord's Supper, a brother got up and gave something. And then a sister got up and sang a song. And it was really the message that I was supposed to bring at that time, but I was switching to another subject because I thought that this is what the Lord wanted, and the Lord just turned it around. He wanted me to go, and I hadn't really studied it. But you know, that day the Lord spoke to souls and souls got saved. But he changed my message. Now when I went there, if he would have asked me at 8:30 in the morning after I left the brother's house and went to the chapel, I would have said I was going to speak on so-and-so. But the Lord's Supper, the Lord changed my mind. And then my sister getting up and singing the song that she did changed my mind again. I said, Lord, you must want me to speak on this. And I spoke. Now, a few hours earlier, I thought the Lord's will was that. Now, we can't always tell, but we try to do what the Lord would have us to do. But I want us to notice, as the Lord Jesus Christ brings out here in the 16th verse, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Now, he's talking about the doctrine that he's giving. These are not my doctrines. I haven't learned them from earth. Now, isn't that exactly what Paul said even after he was converted? When he was converted, he said he did not go back to the apostles to learn. But he didn't know if he was caught up in the third heaven or not. He didn't know. But the Lord God taught him things. And then after some time, he went to Jerusalem and conferred with Peter and the other disciples to be sure he wasn't running in the wrong direction. But he said he did not learn it from man. He learned it from God. And Paul is our apostle. He is the one that we hear speak to our hearts and has won the Gentiles to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he always went to the Jew first, and after the Jews kicked him out of the synagogue, the Gentiles were there eager and waiting to hear the word of God. Now you notice he says about the doctrine in this verse, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent by his Father to this earth. He's the sent one. He's the Redeemer to redeem us from sin and to draw us close to the Father. Now he was sent. He said, the things that I do are not mine. Now notice the next thing. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Now, beloved, I believe this is a secret. This is a secret, first of all, to know God's will for our life. Notice, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. In other words, we could put it this way. If any man willing to do his will, just put an ing on the end of that will, willing to do his will. You know, a lot of times people say, I just don't know if it's the will of God. Now, beloved, if we're willing to do his will, the scripture tells us, this is what the Word of God says. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. He shall know of the doctrine. He shall know of the doctrine that is of God, and it is God's will. He shall know. It's something that we can know when we're willing to do what the Lord wants us to do. But you know, sometimes we've made up our mind, we say, Lord, if you want me to go to the mission field, I'll go. And then we make all the plans to go to the mission field, but the Lord has never told us to go. And then he shuts the door, and then we're disappointed. But we shouldn't be, should we? Because if it's the Lord's will for us to go, we'll go. If it's the Lord's will for us to stay, we'll stay. If the Lord wants us to move, we'll move. If the Lord doesn't want us to move, we won't move. It's the Lord's will. And you know, I believe that every one of us Christians really down in our heart wants the Lord's will. But sometimes we're afraid to say, Lord, I'm willing to do your will. Aren't we? Now, you think that over for a minute. You might say, no, I wouldn't be afraid to say that at all. Well, now, what if the Lord asked you to give up your job? That check coming in every week. You'd say, well, I'd be willing to do that. Well, not would you. Would you be willing to lay all aside and say, Lord, I'm willing to go no matter where you send me. I'm willing to go. But are you willing to stay as well? And still keep the job. You know, sometimes it's harder to stay in the job than it is to go out in the Lord's work. One brother told me, he says, our assembly, every time we commend a brother, it seems like the brother that caused the most trouble in the assembly, we commend to the Lord's work, so he'll get out of our hair and put him in somebody else's hair. I said, brother, that's the wrong reason to commend a man. That's a terrible reason to commend a man. I said, you're supposed to commend him because he's fit for the service of God, not because he's just a crank and giving the brethren a hard time at home. Let's get rid of him. Maybe he'll go to Sanford or Silo City or Greensboro or something to give them trouble for a while instead of giving us trouble. You know, that's not the reason we commend the man, is it? It's because he knows the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ and he's been called of God. Now, that's the reason that we commend a man and send him forth with the Word of God. But, you know, sometimes when we say, Lord, I'm willing to do your will, I'm willing, then we'll know of the doctrine. We'll know. if we're willing. And I believe this is sincerely the truth in anybody's case that's seeking the Lord's will, whatever it might be for our life. But you know, I can even say in my early life, it was one thing I made to boast, is I always made to boast, I'll never go out in full-time work, because I got two good hands to make a living, and I don't want to be in debt to any of the people of God. It's enough men sponging off the Lord's people. Well, it wasn't long since the Lord put me out of his work. So now I'm sponging off them, huh? Well, that's what happens. You see, you should be careful how you open that big mouth of yours. It might come back. You might have to eat kind of cold pie or something. Anyway, here it is. But you know, I boasted about that. But the Lord had other plans. Now, he had to humble me, and I'm not going to go through all the process because it's still the Lord's working on me. But you know, the hardest thing for me ever to do in my life was to receive a gift from a person because I was so proud. It's a hard thing to say thank you for a gift. I know some people. I know some people that are close friends of mine. You give them a gift. I don't care if it's a necktie or a box of candy or what it is. And it's almost impossible for them to say thank you. They'll grunt out something. It almost embarrasses them because they're so used to providing for themselves. They're so self-sufficient. But you know, it's a shame, isn't it, that people are like this. But you know, knowing God's will, and many times as we tried to say, to try to get somebody to take a gift or free, it's a hard thing. And this is my point here, that sometimes when God tells us to do something, it's a lot harder to do than what we think it is to do. It's easy to say, oh Lord, I'm willing to do your will. Oh, are you? Are you? I just could see the Lord looking up in heaven when some of us think, say, Lord, I'm ready to do anything you want me to do. And the Lord just looks down and says, are you? I'll see about that. Will you give up your job? Well, now, Lord, I didn't mean to go all out. Now, isn't this the attitude of a lot of people today? We say, Lord, we'll do your will, but we won't do his will because we put our own will first. And that's why, you know, beloved, I've seen a lot of times in campaigns. I'll never forget one time at Blue Ridge. The Brother Catford was preaching, and he gave a very good message, and it touched my heart as a soldier boy. And he asked, how many people are willing to do God's will? Stand up! And it was at the end of the meeting. And in my heart, I wanted to do God's will. He says, if the Lord calls you to the mission field or wherever the Lord calls you, are you willing to do God's will? I said, I'm willing. He says, stand up. So I stood up. Now, quite a few other young people stood up and some older people stood up. I don't know if you were there at that time or not. Sam, were you there that year? All right. Well, I was there in a soldier's uniform. And then he says, all of you that have stood up and said you're willing to do God's will, if the Lord tells you to go to the mission field tomorrow, will you be willing to go? Or if the Lord tells you to do something else, will you be willing to go? I want you to come down to the front. Well, now, I was willing to go to the mission field or anywhere else. But now, I knew something. I knew something. I had a uniform on of the United States Army. And I knew I wasn't going anywhere for 2 years. I knew that. I wasn't going to the mission field. If I wanted to go or anything else, I wasn't going as far as a missionary goes. Now, I might go as a missionary in the Army, but I was obligated for 2 years. Now, a lot of the people went forward. Some didn't. I didn't. And afterwards, I went up to Brother Tadford as a young man, and I said, Brother Tadford, I want you to know I was sincere when I stood up. And I said, Lord, I was willing to go anywhere you call me. But I said, Brother Tadford, I felt that I would be telling a lie to this audience and to God if I said I was willing to go right now because I can't go for 2 years. And he says, well, he looked at my uniform. He says, I could see what you mean. Now, I don't think that the Lord looked bad at me because I didn't walk forward, because my heart was willing, but beloved, I was tied down for 2 years. It was no way, unless the Lord just performed a miracle and got me discharged out of the service, could I go to the mission field right there that week. So you see, sometimes our circumstances, now I was willing to go. And I've always been willing to go, but I've always said this, the Lord probably knew I had trouble enough with the English language that it sent me overseas would be a lot harder to do it. I know the Lord is a miracle working God, but you know, it's a funny thing, I'm going to the mission field anyway. But I'm going through the tape, praise God. The missionaries can take it. I had a letter from a missionary the other day, and they said that they're going to see if they can't use my messages and translate them and even use them to some of the people that speak in English and let them listen to it. So maybe that way I'll get to go. But you know, it's a wonderful place if a man and God can equip any of us to go. But are we willing? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said that we might know of his doctrine. Now, notice what he brings out here. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He says, they'll know the doctrine. I'm willing to do my Father's will. Was he willing to do his Father's will? Absolutely. Did he go up to this feast ahead of time when his brethren pushed him and told him to go up? He could have gone up in his own strength and said, I'm going to go up. My brethren want me to go up. I'll show them that I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't. He took the punishment from his brothers and sisters. Why? Because his Father hadn't told him to go yet. Isn't that willing? Isn't that willing? Then after his brothers and sisters left and went up to the feast, then his Father said, Lord Jesus, my son, go up to the feast. Yes, Father. He was willing. Now notice what he brings out here, as you see in this, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Did he ever speak of himself? No, he spoke of his Father. I'm not to do my will, I'm to do my Father. If any man will do his will. Now notice I read the wrong verse, 18 verse. He that speaketh of himself speaketh of his own glory. You know, this is a danger with every one of us preachers and every one of us Christian workers. To speak a lot about our own work instead of the Lord's work. It's so easy to be so enthralled in what I'm doing for the Lord that I boast in it. Just like I've mentioned several times, my case, that's a terrible thing. Let the Lord give honor to it. But you notice, it's not seeking our own glory. And you know, it's one of the hardest things that you find among Bible teachers. And it's a danger in every one of us that minister the Word of God. That we think that maybe our messages are just a little bit better than that Bible teacher. Well, he's a good Bible teacher, but, you know, he doesn't get very deep. I heard a man one day, I was talking to him, and I said, you know, I said, I sure like to hear Brother McGee. Yes, he says, Brother McGee is a good brother, but he's so simple. I says, well, I'll tell you what, sometimes he brings things out that I have to scratch my head and say, where did he get it from? Now, of course, I realize I'm simple. But, beloved, you know, looking down our nose at somebody else, well, he's not right up to my par. I give another one. Dear Brother Drew, another great student of the Word of God from Florida. Precious man. I love him. In the Lord, taught me much about the Word of God. I heard a brother one time, I was talking to him. I said, boy, that Brother Drew is something, isn't he? I said, the other night he spoke on Isaiah 51, and I said, it just melted my heart. Never heard such a man. Oh, he says, Brother Drew's all right, but he's so simple. You know, it's so easy to speak of our own, you know. I get a little bit more out of the scriptures. I get a little bit deeper. But you know, it's not the brother that seeks his own glory. The Lord Jesus never saw his own glory, for notice what he says in that. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him. You see, he's seeking the glory of the Lord God of heaven and not his own glory. You and I should be seeking tonight not the glory that we might receive by people patting us on the back because we talk about ourselves so much and we tell people we're so great they're almost believing it, you know. They almost get to the belief that we are great because we've told them so much. And so we're seeking our own glory. But he says, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true and no unrighteousness is in him. There was no unrighteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ because he was not seeking his own glory. He was seeking the glory of his Father, not the glory for himself. Notice that part again. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true and no unrighteousness is in him. Was there any unrighteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely none. There was no unrighteousness in him. He did not seek to be lifted up and all men bow down to him. He didn't want to be one to have them grab a hold of him and make him king and crown him king. He didn't seek them to crown him king. He was looking when the Father above would give him his kingdom, the kingdom of David, and set him upon the throne. He was looking for his Father to honor him. Look at this, beloved. He wanted his Father to honor him. His Father to honor him. Notice what it says in John 17 and verse 25. I've got to hurry a little bit. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. He came to reveal the Father. The Son reveals the Father. He came to do that. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, and these have not known that thou hast sent me. Now look at the third verse of the 17th chapter. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. First of all, that they might know God. He often, when he talked about him, would say, I am here only for the Father. It is not I, it is the Father who sent me. As I have often told you 40 times, he said, the Father sent me. The Lord Jesus himself was not seeking his own glory. He was seeking the glory of the Father who had sent him. Now will you go back to the 7th chapter. Look at the 27th verse at this chapter. Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth when he is. Now in the 27th verse, it is a matter of knowing the Son. And the great question for these Jews and for the Jews of all ages has been to know the Son. And in the 27th verse they said, Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth him. Now notice again. No man knoweth whence he is. The 28th verse. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, We ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. You see, he always talked about the Father, and not about himself. And beloved, this is a great message that I'm trying to put over tonight to each one of us, that we might seek the Father's will, that we might not do our own will, but that we might do the Father's will, that we might be a testimony to this world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so many times we get in the way of the Father. We get in the way of the Spirit of God, but we want to seek our own will instead of the will of the Father, but it wasn't that way with him. I want us to drop down to the 30th verse. Notice what it says. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Beloved, they couldn't take him, but his hour was not yet come. Oh, there was going to come a time when he would be led to the chief priest. He would be led bound to the chief priest. He would be taken, even as we see in the 18th chapter and the 24th verse of the book of John. Notice what it says. Let's drop down instead of that verse for time's sake. Let's drop down to the 22nd verse. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus could not do anything. Beloved, there was coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ would say, Not my will, but thy will be done. They wanted to take him by force in one chapter and make him king. Now they're going to try to take him by force and destroy him, but no man laid hands on him. His hour was not yet come. But there was coming a time when his hour would come, when the Son of God would be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, that they would take him and crucify him. They would part his garment. They would put that crown of thorns upon his brow. They would nail his hands to the cross. They would nail his feet to the cross. We read the scripture, one of the soldiers slapped him on the face. They slapped the blessed Son of God on the face because they hated him. He did not come to do his will. He came to do the Father's will. Oh, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know the Father's will. Could you go back to the 7th chapter of John, in the 33rd verse, and look what it says. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you. When I go on to him that sent me, notice what he says, a little while. Perhaps this is about 6 months before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. He says, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go to the Father.
There's going to come a time that I'm going to go to the Father. You don't know the Father. I know Him. He sent me. And I'm going to go back to the Father. And you know, it was the Feast of the Tabernacles where the Lord Jesus Christ, the last feast, the feast that's in October. The month of October that we would say. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is there at the feast time. The Feast of Tabernacles. And He's saying, I'm going to be away from you. I'm going back to my Father. It was just 6 months away. That next spring, Jesus Christ in April was going to be crucified. He was going to walk into the city of Jerusalem. But beloved, in 6 months, He was going to be crucified. Isn't it a wonderful thing to see what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to go through for us? But He did it because He loved you and He loved me. He loved each sinner. But He said, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do my Father's will. I just want to say this tonight, if there's one person without the Lord Jesus Christ, we have talked much tonight about the Christians and what we should do for the Father. We should be like the Son of God. We shouldn't be selfish and want our own self-glory. We should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We should want the Father to be glorified, the Son to be glorified, and us step in the background, and I hope that's true for each one. And much of the time tonight has been spent speaking to us believers. But my heart in the close of this message is burdened for the lost. And maybe you're out there this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You need to come to Christ. You've never surrendered that life to Him. And much of what I've said tonight has just gone over your head. And you said, yes, that's right. Give it to the Christians. Give it to those people that think they're so high and mighty. But I'm talking to you, sinner friend, right now. Have you ever looked at this one that went to Calvary and died on a cross for your sins? He was spit upon for you. He was crucified for you. He had nails driven in His hands for you. My beloved friend, this evening, right where you sit, you can turn that life and heart over to Jesus Christ and be saved. You can be saved tonight. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there was somebody here that could see that the Lord Jesus Christ left this earthly seed and went into heaven to prepare a place for us? Maybe there's a person here tonight right now that would like to be saved. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Would you like to trust the Lord, my friend, tonight as your Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like to trust Him as your Savior and have your sins forgiven? Oh, why don't you say, God, not my will. I've been doing my own thing all my life. I've been running my own life, but now, Lord, I want You to work in my life. I want You to take over control. I'm sick of my own will. I'm willing to do Your will, Lord. Save me and cleanse me from my sins. I'm a sinner. A lot of the work maybe I've been doing in the church, Lord, has been only my own will and for only popularity and only a standard of life instead of saying, oh, Lord, I now submit myself to You. Maybe there's a Christian that needs to submit themselves to the Lord tonight. You've been doing your own will. You're not willing to just drop your head and say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, beloved, as this message has spoken to me, maybe it has spoken to you as well. And if you're a Christian here and you've been doing things for God just for show, give it up. And now do it for the glory of God and say, not my will, but Thy will be done. Beloved, if there's a person here, you're not saved. And yet you've been very active in the church. You've been doing all kinds of things. Why don't you bow your heart and head and say, oh, God, not my will anymore. I see it's Jesus Christ needs a preeminent spot in my life, and I'm going to submit to You today. I'm going to give my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust the precious blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary to cleanse me from all sin. I'm going to trust Him right now as my Savior. The best way I know how, I'm going to submit to the will of God. Oh, beloved, will you do it tonight? Will you do it now? Father, we just pray that Thou would take this message and burn it into our hearts. And may we see that, Father, tonight, that we've been trying to get out a message to the people of God that we will not do our own will, but we'll do the will of the Father, as even Jesus Christ did not do His will, He did the will of the Father. And we just pray if there's one soul that's listening to my voice right now, that they will turn that life over to Jesus Christ and be saved. Oh, Father, speak through the invitation. May someone come to Christ tonight. We ask in Thy Son's precious and worthy name. Amen.